Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And how appropriate it is that we have the tax man, Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins, in studio on what used to be called Tax Day. April 15th. It still is tax day for some, Andrew, isn't it?
That's right.
And good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, this was kind of interesting year because when you saw the April 15th fell on a Thursday, I was like, oh, that's going to be a great show. We'll have the tax man on tax day, so to speak.
Yep.
And, you know, there are some filings that are due, which we'll get into. But, you know, normally this show I had in my mind would be talking about, okay, what do you do if you're not quite ready to file, mm-hmm. you know, getting that extension. We've talked about that before, Mike, about how getting that extension to file for 6 months is a lot better than filing what you've got and then doing an amendment later,
yep.
because we've talked about how the increased audit rates are on those amended returns versus those extended returns.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that'll still be the case. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, in case you don't know what we're talking about, tax day is not April 15th this year. It's May 17th.
Which is, don't get too excited because that's not a Thursday. We checked. It's a Monday.
A Monday.
So maybe we have to switch up life and taxes for Monday just to get you two for two.
I would say
the advantage, even though you have the extended time for single filers on 1040s to May 17th to get your files in because the IRS is inundated, but also it gets you on their radar that you have filed taxes for 2020, which may help your situation as far as stimulus checks go or other future types of largesse from the federal government.
Correct. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I know last year, same boat for me, trying to get that return filed to show we had a child, you know. So that was one of the big things that we were mm-hmm. working on for last year when we were talking about stimulus filings. And those do matter. And obviously there's ways to take advantage of credits like we've talked about before if you haven't been able to get your stimulus funds. So really, during your individual filing, it's a good time to regroup on the stimulus
right.
Funds as well and make sure that you've collected everything that should have been collected. As far as due dates go,
it is 15 and a half hours till the striking hour at midnight.
That's right.
Somebody watching the clock here?
There are some filers that are watching the clock.
Yeah.
You know, and we've talked about before, especially for Harvell and Collins, trusts and estates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one. So trusts and estates who are under calendar year, no extension. So I've done a lot this past week.
I bet.
Of getting individuals in to sign the returns in order to get their income taxes for their trust and income taxes for their estates done and filed prior to April 15th. And I think we got our last one yesterday, so we're in good shape. Not going to be rushing today.
Can you knock them out that fast? I mean, if you got one in yesterday, you know, a day and change from the deadline, you can still prepare it?
Yeah, the good news is that if we've got the return done, I've already got all the information out, you know, and
right.
the return's been prepared. Then it's a matter of getting that e-file, that 8879 form signed by the executor or the trustee of the trust
mm-hmm.
in order to allow that return to be, you know,
sent
digitally off. Sent to the IRS. So that was the important thing that we've been running around the last week or so doing is getting those signatures on those forms to get that e-file so the returns can be electronically filed.
So are you burning midnight oil tonight?
No, not really.
You're under control?
Yeah, the trust and estates, like I said, we finished our last one yesterday, so we're in good shape on that front. Corporations. So C corporations, not our S corps.
Mm-hmm.
The S corp deadline, as we talked about previously, was March 15th. It's over and gone. But the C corp deadline, so those that file form 1120, are on the clock. They're on the 15-hour window, as
right.
you said. So
yeah.
that's what we're looking at there. Foreign corporations who report 1120F. Don't know if there are any of those listening, but that one's going to be due as well. Tax exempt organizations. Must file their form 990T. Again, that's one that's up. And we talked about before estimated tax payments. So not a 2020 filing, but actually a 2021 filing
right.
For tax year 2021. Those estimated tax payments are still due by today. So weird situation, as we've discussed, where you have a filing that's an estimated tax payment that's due that's supposed to be based upon a tax filing that may or may not have been filed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear that in mind if you're out there and you're one of those self-employed individuals who, you know, normally has to pay estimated taxes. We talked about good faith, you know, if your numbers didn't change much from the previous year, you know, go with what you have on your other return. A lot of people, we just said it's not worth the cost or expense to try to rush to get a return done for the purposes of estimated taxes. So do the best you can. Make an overpayment, for instance, on your taxes. We talked about that before, to apply to the estimated taxes. So there's some ways that you can mitigate the possible penalties and interest that would come with a delayed or late estimated tax payment.
Just to be clear, everything you're saying thus far is at the federal level. We're talking about the 1040. Is North Carolina DOR following, as far as the deadline goes, the same calendar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. So the calendar is the exact same for states and for federal at the moment. So, you know, bear in mind, if I've set a return's due, it's due both on the federal level or on the state level. Mm-hmm. If I've said it's delayed, i.e. individual returns, right, really what we're talking about there, then you have till May 17th on both the state and the federal level to get those returns in.
Do you see any possibility that they could move back May 17th, maybe just having an overburdened IRS, or is that pretty much etched in stone, do you think, at this point?
Looks like it's pretty much etched. Yeah. You know, I feel like they would have done something before now.
I mean, it's only like a month out.
Exactly. Yeah. A month out. You know, we've talked about before how we had the three states, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, who had the freeze,
yeah,
who got delayed till June 15th. And kind of, we thought originally that might be a good way for the IRS to just say, okay, everyone June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen. And when that didn't happen, it was kind of pretty much the writing was on the wall that we're looking at a May 17th deadline. Don't see that one getting changed, but you know, we've seen it before.
We saw it the last year and a half, it seems.
Exactly. We have seen these late delays, and you did mention, I looked at some filing numbers, the backlog.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yes, so I did see some numbers on the backlog. They're still getting through the 2019 returns. Obviously, I've still got tons of refunds, 5-6 refunds from estates that still have not come in yet. I know you are still waiting on your refund.
Yeah.
I had an individual yesterday tell me, I want to close my estate, and I said, no, you don't. You got to wait for this refund to come in before we can get that estate closed.
Mm-hmm.
Had that call yesterday, as a matter of fact, from one of our clients. So, you know, unfortunately, it's patience on those 2019 returns still getting processed. And in looking at where the IRS is relative to 2020 filings at this time last year, comparing the numbers, they're about 11 million returns back from the numbers from 2020. So they haven't processed.
Under
11 million returns.
Well, that should
last year it was about 87 million, and this year we're at 76 million returns processed up through the end of March.
But it's funny that it comes in at that number, because that was about the number hadn't been opened in 2019 at Kansas City, Missouri, and other places where returns were being processed.
That's right.
So it's kind of a balancing act. It's just getting the people back to open up the letters.
Yeah, and you
envelopes.
Know, one interesting thing is they've been talking about, you know, we've been mentioning on this program for the last several weeks about how all of these new bills that are being brought to the forefront for infrastructure and COVID relief and other items all have tax provisions in order to try to get these things paid, you know, through the budget reconciliation, making sure we don't increase the deficit by a certain amount.
We don't want to do that.
By a certain amount.
Yeah.
And so, all these tax provisions are being included in there. So just, you know, be wary. And all these are going to apply for 2020 moving forward. But right now is just one of those situations, Mike, where, you know, get your 2020 filing done.
Yeah.
Because 2021, you know, we're not sure what the rules are going to be, unfortunately. And most of the stuff they're maybe going to allow to go to 2022, you know, starting basically into tax year 2021. But you never know. I mean, they love passing these retroactive laws. So we're just in a situation where right now we are keeping our eyes on these bills and see how they're moving through Congress and changes being made and what the political winds of D.C. are, or how they're shifting.
Right.
Because we know this. Taxes are a changing.
They are.
Because there's just no doubt about it. I mean, the way that money is being spent and the way that these bills are being included with tax provisions, you know, just beware that the tax laws are changing. The other thing that's interesting is that you remember for several years it was, we need to continue to take money away from the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the Lois Lerner scandal, for instance,
right,
where we had targeting conservative groups, nonprofit status. That really did a ding for the IRS in budget because people didn't want to fund that type of operation. Now we've got to push to refund the IRS, and that's for enforcement. So I think
i.e. collection.
So right. Just bear in mind, I mean, I think what we're seeing here is we're seeing a shift towards increasing taxes, and we're seeing a shift towards enforcement and giving, you know, I read the other day, $2 billion
at least
just for enforcement provisions.
Yeah.
Hire more people and target, you know, the wealthy or wealthy corporations is what the article was saying.
Yeah.
For these enforcement actions. So, you know, just beware. Here we are on tax day, and I'm giving you a little dire warning. But the fact is that there are going to be tax law changes. And what I'll say, Mike, with that is that with changes come planning opportunities.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the most important things for our listeners to hear is, you know, don't get scared. Don't bury your head in the sand. What you need to do right now is, you know, be on the forefront and listen to what the changes are. And then, okay, here are what the changes are going to be. Now, how do we go about putting you in a best position to save you as much money as we possibly can on taxes? Because no one wants to pay more than what they're required to pay under the tax laws. And if there's a way to structure things in a certain way to help your tax burden, that's what we'll do at Harvell and Collins for you.
Give Andrew Foster a call today. Get that roadmap started and you're planning now, because as he said, these tax laws, they are changing, and I think they're going in one direction. That's up for now at least. Call 252-726-9050. Go online to harvellandcollins.com. But again, the phone number for Andrew Foster, 252-726-9050. We'll be right back. Thanks, Andrew.